I'm going to talk today about the WAVE study, and it's a qualitative study that took place in a couple different sites around the world. And you will see by the end that not everyone is safe in their own homes. I don't have anything that I need to disclose. And I will kind of quickly skip through background on youth violence because you've got a nice description of youth violence before this. I do want to point out that it is varied all over the world. Latin America and the Caribbean tend to have the highest rates of youth homicide. Sadly, the United States is one of the only non-developing countries with a youth homicide rate over 10 per 100,000. Regardless, the consequences are really far-reaching for the young people around the world that are experiencing physical, emotional, and sexual abuse in the places where they live, work, and play. I'm going to examine youth perspectives on violence in urban settings around the world. We're going to compare the young people's perceptions of their safety, and we're going to compare their perspectives on the factors that contribute to or mitigate the violence. So, these results are from the first phase of a two-phase study called the Well-Being of Adolescents in Vulnerable Environments. It's a qualitative study. It took place in five sites, East Baltimore, Johannesburg, Shanghai, New Delhi, and Ibadan. The participants were 15 to 19 years old, living in specific geographic marginalized communities within those five cities. And those were each chosen by the local researchers. So, for example, East Baltimore is a pretty small, geographically defined place in Baltimore. In Shanghai, it was a subdivision of the city that had a high proportion of floating population or migrants to the city. So once the individual area was selected, researchers walked the area and basically mapped it. They were looking for areas where young people congregate. They were looking for resources in the community, churches, schools, youth-serving organizations. A list of youth-serving organizations was then generated, and all of those youth-serving organizations were then contacted to participate as adult key informants in the study. What I'm going to present to you today is not the information that was collected about youth, but the information that was collected with adolescents. So, using the exact same protocols in all the sites, researchers conducted photo voice projects with young people. Each site had about 10 young people who came together and took photos to sort of document the health issues in their community. Each site held 8 community mapping groups where young people were brought in and sort of led through an activity where they drew maps of their community and highlighted the resources within them. Then there were focus groups to follow up on those community mapping groups where we got more information about the contextual information that was given during the mapping sessions. And then there were in-depth interviews with young people to really get their personal experiences and perspectives in growing up in these communities. So the analysis I'm going to present today is only 4 of the 5 sites because we were all sort of on different timelines. So you'll hear about Baltimore, Shanghai, Johannesburg, and Delhi. All the interviews were transcribed verbatim. They were translated into English, and then they were put into Atlas TI. And we used sort of an inductive method to come up with a code list. The lead qualitative researchers in all the sites submitted codes. We developed a code list. We tested it on some of our transcripts, and then we incorporated the feedback into what was then a final code list. After all the coding was completed at the sites, then they were all sent and a hermeneutic unit was compiled in Baltimore. And then we developed matrices of themes to sort of look at patterns across the sites. So I'm going to talk about common themes around the types of violence, how young people perceive safe and unsafe spaces in their communities, and what they think about the factors that are contributing to or mitigating violence. So it was pretty common across all of the sites that young people described fighting and this sort of common sort of escalation I think Jason talked about in terms of retaliations. This is from Delhi. A young man said, I had a fight with 6 or 7 of them 6 months ago. I had beat one boy, but then one day he found me alone and they also brought 4 or 5 boys to beat me. And this was pretty common, similar quotes in Baltimore as well. Across all of the sites, it was generally males who were involved in the violence, with the exception of Baltimore. where there were many females who were also involved in the violence. Baltimore was also unique, and it was the one site where gun violence came up as a predominant theme. There were some mentions in Johannesburg, but it was much more prevalent in Baltimore. And this is one of the photos that one of the young men took. He said many of Baltimore's young lives end here before they start. This is a huge cemetery that sort of corners the geographic area in Baltimore. The incidents of domestic violence were sort of varied across all of the sites. In Delhi, participants described violence in the home between married adults, between siblings, and violence that was directed towards female children. In Shanghai, young people reported that parents used both physical and verbal assault in terms of child rearing, and it was very normative. So a young person in Shanghai said, it's Chinese tradition. Unless you do a more serious thing, then spanking and scolding is normal, and basically everybody does that. In Johannesburg, there were also some mentions of family violence. And then in Baltimore, it was typically intimate partner violence that young women were reporting. The young woman from Baltimore said, me and all my homegirls have been in domestic violence relationship. It's where no female would want to be, a man beating on you 24/7. Sexual violence was also a pretty common theme across all of the sites. And generally, people talked about the harassment of young girls. In Delhi, the harassment of young girls was pervasive by young boys. One of the young boys said, so they asked them, the girls, that I wish to do friendship with you. And if the girl says something or refuses, so they start to abuse her. Sometimes they also give her a slap or hold her hand. So I could have pulled a quote from any of the transcripts that we looked at in Delhi, and whether it was male or female or young or old, and it would have had a similar statement. Johannesburg was also pretty common to talk about harassment. A young woman said, the guys from there would come and then start picking jokes at you and say, I love you, and come and do this with me. And if you don't, they throw balls at you and anything. In Baltimore, we actually had a young woman who came to the photo voice session who was sort of eluding a young man who was following her and harassing her on the way in. In Shanghai, it was sort of the opposite of pervasive. There weren't that many mentions of sexual harassment. A few young people referred to perverts in the community or some unwelcome touching at specific locations, but it didn't have the same extent the way it did in the other sites. And in Baltimore and Delhi and Johannesburg, there were also multiple mentions of rape as well as sexual abuse in the family. So some of the outliers for Shanghai, theft was what came up as sort of the commonplace violence. A young person said, there are thieves. Once I walked in the street with my colleague and a thief wanted to steal my purse. I found him and then he was able to hit me by his bike, but luckily I ran fast to evade him. Oh my goodness. All right, so I'm going to go a lot faster. And then a unique aspect for Johannesburg was that there were mentions of trafficking and kidnapping. So when it came to how young people talked about safe and unsafe spaces, it was directly linked to their experiences of violence. So young men in Delhi would say, you know, we're pretty much safe anywhere. And young women in Delhi would say, we're only safe at home. And that was even questionable. In Shanghai, because there were lower incidents of violence, there was a wider range of places that they identified as being safe. In Baltimore, young men and women were challenged to find safe places at all. They generally talked about places outside of their neighborhood. These are some of the young men I imagine the young women are complaining about. In terms of the contributing factors, substance abuse came across very clearly. Alcohol use in all the sites, except Baltimore, was really given the blame for some of the incidents of violence. In Baltimore, the adult key informants talked about alcohol, but none of the young people talked about alcohol. Gender inequalities were a huge contributing factor. The young women in Delhi, like I said, it was a pervasive issue that these young women suffered violence because of their gender. And the consequences were far impacting not just being physically assaulted or verbally assaulted, but in a lot of times they had to forfeit their education because of it. And then in each of the communities, there was always a group that someone blamed for the violence, an outside group. So in Delhi, it was folks from another camp who were of an upper caste. In Johannesburg, it was Nigerians who were, they were claiming were responsible for some of the sexual violence. In Baltimore, there was a little less mentions of it because I think we have a more homogenous population. And in Shanghai, it was generally the migrants who they felt were responsible for the violence. Families generally had a protective factor. Young people in Delhi didn't feel that they were safe unless there was a parent at home. Young people sort of cited their parents as taking the initiative, especially in Baltimore, to move them to other places to get away from the violence. And the consensus on police was a little mixed. This young person in Hillborough was very happy with the job that the police were doing. But in some of the other sites, it was much more mixed, and young people generally had a lack of confidence in the police. However, security measures. So security at a hospital, people in East Baltimore thought Hopkins was a safe place because we had security guards. Same thing with Johannesburg and Shanghai. If there was security and there were surveillance cameras, their perception of safety went up. So surprisingly, there were lots of similarities, even though these countries are very different in terms of political and economic context. Clearly, youth violence needs to address the local conditions, the norms around violence, and the things that Jason and Brent talked about, the inequalities, and certainly alcohol use policies. Young people did talk about strengths they have in their community, and violence prevention efforts should build on those local strengths. And these young people had a ton to say about what they thought could be done differently, and so they really should be seen as partners in terms of violence prevention efforts. I need to acknowledge that part of this was funded by AstraZeneca through their Young Health Program, and thank my co-authors, one of who is in the room, and my colleagues across the world in this study.
Thank you so much, Beth. And I think your presentation, that's why when we arranged it after Brett's and Jason's, because it's a nice compliment. And when you were talking about this, I was thinking that recently in a lot of South Asian countries, like and also in India and Bangladesh, is when you mentioned that the boy threw balls, like paper balls, they're throwing acid. And that's a major issue. Like, you know, if you don't like me, like, okay, then nobody, and this, and because usually sulfuric acid is used, you get it easy access, it's just thrown on. So it's terrible. And, you know, there is what is called the Acid Survivors Foundation in Bangladesh, where they're trying to get funding to help these poor girls scarred, and some of them have even died. So I think it's awful. And one of the things I think is that also the media kind of plays a part, because you look at any movie, any Bollywood movie or any movie, they go like, okay, so it's like, it's macho, like it's you know, you're macho if you tease a girl. And now if you throw an acid like you're showing. So I think it's really awful. And even Tom and Jerry, because Jerry is always beating up Tom. I mean, just think about it. I mean, we laugh, but these are, I think we really need to see, look into why violence has become so much of a part of our life. So that being said, the last speaker for today is Sue Smith. And I'm just going to introduce you in a moment, but why don't you come up to the podium, please? Dr. Susan Smith is an Associate Professor of Safety and Health Education at the Indiana School of Public Health, Bloomington, in the University of Indiana. And she's had more than 20 years of teaching and research experience related to injury prevention and emergency management. Her research interests include building planning tools and organizational strategies to reduce the rate of injuries with high-risk groups such as local emergency responders and those living in high-risk areas of the Middle East and China. So thank you so much, Dr. Smith.